Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And Cleveland's own Jay Crawford, who's the new play-by-play man for the Browns in the preseason, is with us now. Jay, we got to turn you.
Turn me
there
up.
There we go.
Usually I need like two on the volume slider.
Yeah.
I don't need much volume.
You don't seem that loud.
I'm a boomer, dude. Yeah, I'm a loud guy. I'm a loud guy.
How you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Awesome.
It's beautiful.
It's exciting.
It's great to be out of the studio.
You know, listen, at this point, it's great to be in front of a microphone. there's something about day one of training camp. I don't know what it is. There's just something about it. It's like Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like it's the first day of the year.
Well, you're a big baseball guy. It's like the first day of spring training.
Same thing. Everybody's got optimism on this day. Every year when I would go to either Florida or Arizona to cover spring training, all you heard was guys saying Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year.
Right.
Because it's the beginning. It's the start of it. And optimism is high. And it's a good thing. It's great to see the guys back out there going through workouts, and it lets you realize that it's really close. We're getting there.
I told Bull, I used to get the anxious, like, butterflies, like, going into almost like a sick feeling because, you know, training camp, it's the season, but it also sucks as a player because it's, like, the hardest time of the year.
Oh, yeah.
You're out there just
you're back to work.
Sweating your balls off, and it's, yeah, you got to work. It's a lot of hard work. It's tough. But I'm over that now because I've been retired for about a decade. So
listen,
but it's fun.
Dustin,
it's fun to be
you,
here. Yeah,
you just get to sit here and watch the guys sweat and work their tails off.
I know. It's a good feeling.
It's a good gig. Yeah,
behind a microphone.
Well, he says they
critique.
You say these guys have it too easy now, though.
Yeah, it's easier.
Easier.
It's pretty easy.
Too easy. Pretty easy. Look,
no, it's not. It's okay. You can't be off the street to steal from Warren G.
Yeah, it's easier for sure.
Yeah.
But if you were to ask the average person to go out there and go through one-tenth of what they're going through,
I know, they'd be
carted off. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, it's still work. And I think what we don't see now, we don't see the guys staying in shape and preparing for today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's out of sight, out of mind. We don't see it. But if they showed up off the street and they weren't doing anything, you'd know. By now, you'd know.
We were just talking about it because his uncle Tim was a great player for the Patriots. And, you know, in those days, guys had jobs in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And then you had a two-month training camp with six preseason games, and you used that time to get in shape. As you say, these guys come into camp in shape because there's less time to get ready.
Yeah, and those expectations, whether they're written or not, they're certainly there. And if you show up and you're 3 weeks behind
– right.
Then you're 3 weeks behind, and everybody's going to know it. It's going to show up. And for the guys that are on the fringe, that's the difference between collecting a paycheck for 3 hours of work on Sunday that we get to see or selling insurance or doing something else that probably wasn't your lifelong dream. So it's a 52-week-a-year job, and if these guys slack off and they back off, we're going to know it.
No question.
It shows.
So, Jay, let's talk about the gig, play-by-play, you pumped with Tim Couch in the booth?
I can't wait. I talked to Tim yesterday.
Yeah.
This is something that you'll probably hear me say more than once over the next month. I covered Tim when he was an eighth grader playing varsity basketball.
That's funny.
At my first job. And
where was that? Where was the first job?
In Kentucky.
He
went to high school in Leslie County, Kentucky. And I was at a very small CBS affiliate that would pretty much – here was the interview. Have you ever seen a television sportscast? I have. You have the job. You start Monday. So it was a really small station in southeast Kentucky. But I think one of the things that I enjoyed the most about my time there was I love youth athletics. I love high school athletics. And that's all they had. I mean, they obviously covered UK basketball and football. But what drove – the 36 counties that we were in charge of covering was high school sports. Mm-hmm. And the Couch family was royalty because his brother Greg, who played at Eastern, I believe, and was a couple of years older than Tim, was actually a terrific athlete himself. And I remember when his coaches told me about Tim, they said, listen, this kid is coming, and he's going to be better than Greg.
Yeah.
And which was, you know, high praise back then. So for me to be able to call the games and work with Tim, a guy that I actually covered in my first gig out of college, I'm pumped. He seems to be just as thrilled either that or he's really good at faking it. So I can't wait. I'm like a kid in a candy store. When I haven't worked in I think it was May of last year when the layoffs hit.
Yeah.
And what's weird about that is, and I knew that it was coming. I knew it was going to be – we originally thought it was going to be about 150. It ended up being about 125 of us. We'd all been told that you're going to continue to be in the employ of ESPN. We're going to pay you every other week, all your contract, everything, your insurances, your vacation benefits, everything. But you just won't go to work. So originally I'm like, geez, that's like the lottery, you know, free money. And I had 2.5 years left on my contract. Now I have about a year and a couple of months. And originally it's like, well, sign me up for that. I'm moving home, number one, I'm going home. Number two, I'm going to take a job where I want to work. I want to, you know, I'm going to go and cover the things that are important to me. Because I realized in my 15 years at ESPN, it was great going to World Series and Super Bowls and everything else.
Yeah.
But not if my team wasn't in it. Mm-hmm. And I realized that in 16 when I covered the
World that was Series the coolest thing ever, and you were downtown Cleveland. Yeah.
I just thought, Dustin, I thought, why? You know, and I know they're not going to be in the World Series every year. The Cavs won't be in the NBA Finals maybe ever again.
Yeah.
But that's what I'd lost my passion for sports. Because, you know, when you see the sausage, probably, I imagine you don't look at the NFL the same way today that you did when you were a kid.
Yeah,
or college football.
Or college football for sure.
Definitely college football.
So especially now, I cover college games, and I don't look at the game as much.
It's different, right? It's different, and I can't explain
it. Neutral, and it's just tough to have the same passion. You're right.
You know too much in a way.
In a way, you do.
Yeah.
And so for me, when I was faced with this blessing slash curse. I say curse because I'm bored out of my head.
Yeah.
You can only play so much golf before you say, I've had enough. You can only travel to so many places before you've seen everything you want to see. So now I'm this came along at just a perfect time because really
you're about to get back into it.
I miss doing games. I miss being part of action. And so I'm really excited about it. I tell people that it's a dream job, and people that know me say, "But you're a seam head, you know, you're a baseball guy," which it's true, I am. But for me, even though my first passion of playing was baseball, my first ever sporting event was Ohio State Michigan at the Shoe.
Really?
I was 4 years old, and it just consumed my being. And I'd been to many Indians games in the year or two after that. My first Browns game came when I was 7. And looking back on all those experiences, the baseball games to me don't hardly stand out because there were 7,000 fans in vacant municipal stadium.
Yeah.
So my first professional team passion was the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
And, you know, it was a thing with, like most fans, it was me and Pops and my brothers watching the games on Sunday and bonding and talking about the upcoming game all week long and living and dying with every 3rd and 3. And it was that really forged my love of all sports because I realized how exciting these contests can be. So for me to be able to have a chance to I don't care if it was calling this practice session.
Right.
I got to pinch myself because I got to do everything at ESPN.
Yeah.
This will supersede all of that.
That's cool.
I cannot wait.
Jay Crawford is with us. He's the new play-by-play man for the Browns in the preseason, which is a challenge, really, because in the regular season, there's just so many names you need to know.
Oh, yeah.
But in the preseason, especially the first couple of games, you got to know a million guys.
Gotta
so
know
that's
it
a
all.
Pretty big challenge.
It is, but I'll tell you, it's a little different in that, like, whenever I work games for ESPN, and you know this, Dustin, there's no home team. There's no favored team status.
Good point.
So you're learning everything about both teams.
Right.
When I did Ohio State basketball, when I worked in Columbus, I was always calling the games for, it was ESPN Plus at the time, even though I was working at Channel 10. I was the home team broadcaster for the Ohio State basketball.
Right.
So I even if we were playing Purdue or Indiana or whoever, I knew the personnel, but I wasn't so concerned with telling their stories.
Sure.
Our audience didn't care about that. They had another home announcer that was calling the games in Bloomington or for the state of Indiana.
Yeah.
So for me, this kind of goes back to my roots in that there is a favorite team status.
Right.
I'm going to know everything there is to know about that team. And then when it comes to the Giants or the Lions or whomever, you'll know the key personnel. You're not going to spend a lot of time talking about position battles. No. Our audience doesn't care.
Right, yeah.
Our audience wants to know what the starting linebacker core is going to look like. What will those three names be? And, you know, so for me, that's a labor of love. I dig into that stuff every year anyhow and have my whole life. So now I just feel – you remember when your mom would tell you, you can't go pro at playing video games. You're wasting your time.
Sure.
Well, that's no longer true.
You can. Esports, baby.
Yeah.
Holy cow. It's Twitch and Ninja? Are you guys
– Twitch is
– Fortnite is this – our viewers that are younger will know what I'm talking about. This cat on Twitch, his name's Ninja. He plays Fortnite. He makes $500,000 a month playing video games.
Oh my gosh.
What?
So the way it works is people go and watch him, and they give him donations because they enjoy his skill set so much. They just donate money to him.
So he plays, and they're like...
He plays, and he streams it, and there's a camera on him, and you also get to see his view of the game.
Right.
And the guy's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know how anybody gets that good at anything. But you watch him, and you're like, this guy is... He's got the perfect name. He's a ninja.
Yeah.
So you can go pro at video
games. You
can. And my mom used to say, as I would be pouring through all of the preseason NFL books, and all, she said, you know, you'd be better served reading history books and reading things that matter. And I said, no, Mom, this stuff does matter.
Yeah.
This does matter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've made a career at it for 30 years, and hopefully we'll continue to do that once my non-compete is finally up with ESPN. I'll go back, but this, for me, is I've done the homework for this for my entire life.
Yeah, you talk about, speaking of the homework, you talk about position battles. Obviously, there are important position battles. On the surface, it doesn't seem like there's a battle of quarterback, but I think realistically there is.
Yeah.
There certainly is at left tackle and maybe for the starting running back spot.
Yeah.
There's some interesting battles.
There are some interesting. I'm interested to see how does Michael Kendricks fit in at linebacker.
Right.
I don't know exactly how that's going to go. I don't know that many do. That's if we have an area of strength, I think it's linebackers. Mm-hmm. So I think what Hugh would like to get to ultimately is that kind of competition in every room. If you have guys that are coming off a Super Bowl season where they were a starter coming in trying to figure out where they're going to fit in, that's good for the team.
Sure.
It's going to make all of those guys better, and it's going to make, by proxy, the team's going to be better. So I think that I listened carefully to John and Hugh yesterday, and I think they said all the right things. Look, the last thing this team needs right now is a quarterback distraction. We got enough of those already. We've got a million eyeballs looking at us with Hard Knocks.
Yep.
Everything that happens from today through the end of camp is going to be documented, criticized, debated, dissected. They don't need Tyrod Taylor looking over his shoulder to see if the kid's going to take his job. And I think if there's a franchise that understands the perils of throwing a quarterback to the Wolves before he's ready, it should be this one. We've done that to a number of guys recently. And it's not good for the player. I don't think it's good for the organization. Here's what I'd say. If Baker may, and he will get opportunities. He'll play in the preseason. He may not get first-team reps. He'll get reps. If he is head and shoulders, and that's what it's going to take to beat out Tyrod Taylor. It's not going to be, if you're grading them, Tyrod's an 89 and Baker's a 90. That's not going to do it. The crown belongs to Tyrod. He's the defending champ, if you will. Baker's got to knock him out.
Great.
And I don't think anybody expects that to happen, particularly early. And I don't think anybody, if they're smart and they study history, I don't think anybody wants that to happen right away. Let him learn. Let him mature slowly. Let him watch from a guy that knows what it takes to win in the NFL. And he knows how to win. And if by chance we break camp, and all indications are Baker's just better. He's just better. He grasped this thing quicker than anyone thought. Then I'm sure
he'll play.
You and John are going to say he's our guy.
That's right.
But I don't think
it's
going
to have to be head and shoulders above. Though,
you're right.
You don't invest a third round.
He's going to have to blow him away.
Yeah.
And I think he's got incredible upside.
He should.
The best guy should always play.
Right. Yes.
And I do believe that if that happens, they're going to be so surprised by his progress. They'll be pleased to put him out there.
Sure.
Because they'll say he's ready.
Yeah.
But at that position, more than any other, Dustin, I'll get your thoughts on this, because I've always said I think catcher is one of the most vital positions in any sport. I think the most difficult position to play and the one that requires the most broad skill set is quarterback. And I also think that the learning curve at that position is also the greatest, the most difficult.
Well, this game is different than college, so much different in terms of the mental approach. That's the hardest part for these guys to get, is that, like, when I got to the league, the game was so fast. And I was playing defense. I was playing safety when I got to the league. And I'm like,
so you reacting.
Yes, reacting to everything.
Now imagine being the one that's pulling the strings.
Yeah, and diagnosing and looking at, you know, defenses and having to figure out, well, is this a disguise? Are they really showing me this? Where's my Mike linebacker? Okay, now we got to make the offensive line check. There's a lot that goes into it that you don't realize, and these guys in college didn't do it. And so
yeah.
It's like you have to do a million things before you can even get the football and actually play the down.
And guys, I think John and Hugh are taking a really smart approach, too, because even though Baker may not want to hear that he's not in a contest,
yeah,
he also, and he might not know this yet, but he's never felt pressure like the pressure that he's going to feel as the number one overall draft pick. There's going to be pressure from jump.
Yep.
So if you can isolate him from that, even if it's in the short term and for a minute, so he can use the other parts of his brain to absorb what the hell is going on around him,
right.
That's beneficial to him. So if Hugh were to stand up yesterday and say, guys, we've got a competition, you can hear the stories being written, you can hear the TV pundits going nuts, and you can also almost hear the pressure coming out of Baker's pores.
Very fair.
And so now he gets to sit back, relax, be a passenger for a minute. There's plenty of time for Baker Mayfield to show his wares. We're going to get to see this kid play and play a lot, and everyone's hope is that he's the guy we think he is.
Jay, before we let you go, let's talk baseball for a second.
Sure.
Because I'm guessing you like the trade the Indians made, Brad Hand and Adam Simber from San Diego.
Love it. Our
good move.
Our bullpen's a mess.
Big time.
And I don't know that this is going to be the thing that puts us into the World Series right now as I look across at the competition.
Yeah. And best teams in baseball are in the American League. The three best teams.
The three best teams
right.
are in the American League, and
yes.
the Indians aren't currently
right.
one of them.
They're fourth.
So it's going to be tough. Now, look, the best team doesn't always win. I think
That's
last
right.
year the Indians were a better team than the Yankees.
Definitely.
But I do. The reason I have optimism is a couple reasons. I think our starting pitching is as good, if not better, than anyone in baseball, and that's what wins in the playoffs, as long as you have a bullpen. And I still think that I'm not worried about Miller. When he's ready, when he has to be ready, he'll be ready. Why throw him in meaningless games
right,
now?
No
you're
rush.
you're gonna coast to the division title.
Right.
Let him be fresh September 1st. Let him use September as his spring training, and so he's ready for the playoffs. I think I would make him the closer. I think I would move him into the closing role.
Or maybe Hand. Only because Miller's gonna miss a long time.
I like Hand a
ton. He's really struggling.
I don't know what you do with two lefties that are potentially your eighth and ninth inning guys. I don't know how you juggle that math. I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know. Cody's having a hard time with his curveball.
Yeah.
And when you don't have that out pitch, when you don't have a curveball as an out pitch in your arsenal, guys are sitting on that fastball. If they get you deep in a count, and he's gone deep in counts to everybody, they're just sitting on your fastball. And these guys are too good. If they know it's coming, they're going to get it. And until he figures out his curveball, his fastball is neutralized.
Right.
And so,
no doubt.
But look, he's still the same guy that he was. His velocity is there. His ego's dinged. And he has to figure out how to locate that curveball and how to throw it effectively. And he's got 2 months to figure it out. So I'm hoping that they iron out the bullpen woes.
Did we get an outfielder?
We need another bat.
Jay Happ just got traded.
Saw that.
Yeah.
I don't really.
They don't need a starter.
Gosh, you know what? Our team is offensively. I mean, I
know. He's an outfielder. Right and center are a little shaky.
Yeah. They're a little shaky.
I heard Morosi today suggest that if the Nats were willing to trade Harper, that the Indians might be the team. I don't see that. But
two things.
Yeah.
One, they wouldn't be willing.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And two, the Indians would not be that team.
I don't think they would
be. No, not that team.
J, Jay, great to see you.
Great to see you guys.
Welcome back home.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Excited to watch the games with you.
To work with you, buddy.
Yeah, no, I can't wait, Dustin. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Jay Crawford, great to chat with him. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, absolutely.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.